You're about to hear the Daf Yomi on Masechet Chulin from Daf Cycle number 12 in the year Tovshin Ayin Aleph. It'll be followed by a rapid review enabling you to get a quick glimpse of the Daf, and then I'm going to replay you the Daf from the 11th cycle from the year 2004, which you might enjoy more because of a different ambience and different participants. Enjoy. Today's Daf from Masechet Chulin is Daf Petet, and we are holding... Actually, we did some of the Agarata, and we're up to Koshe Yezel HaMe'echal. That's where we got up to. Omer the Abba, one third of the way down. So we're continuing now, actually, a part we were examining the Sugya of the Zechut through Avram Avinu, from first Anochi Afar Ve'efer, and then Imichut Vatzroch. Now, so that already led us to recognize that there's something strange. He didn't want to be Nehene from anything that he got with the war with Sodom. And yet, he says over there, well, I won't take anything from you, but I have to say that Biladai Rak Asher Achlu HaNe'arim V'Chelek HaNashim, you know, I'm not going to return the part that was taken by the boys that were with me, that they ate. I'm not going to repay that. You know, if it was already taken, we're going to keep it. So from there, Rav Abba today is Medayit, Omar Rabbi Abba, Koshe Gezel HaNe'echal, Shafilu Tzadikim Geburim Enel Yecholin La'achziro. It's one thing to return something you stole. It's another thing to return something you stole and already ate. Because here, Avram Avinu, for all intents and purposes, even though obviously Mitzad Adin, he was allowed to keep anything. But he said, I'm not taking anything. In his eyes, for all intents and purposes, it could have been stolen. He didn't want to have anything to do with it. And yet he couldn't bring himself to give back what the boys in the war had already eaten. So you see from there that once something is taken, even a Tzadik Gomer finds a way that he's not going to return it. Shenemar Biladai, Rak Asher Achlu HaNe'arim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, once we're in this sugya, in which Avram Avinu was zeicher by saying Anochi Afar Va'efer, was zeicher to the two mitzvot. Well, actually, it was a third mitzvah, but then we didn't call it Hana'at mitzvah, which is, of course, Kisrei Adam, which is how we got into the whole discussion of Afar Va'efer in the first place. So, Amar Rabbi Yochanan Meshumer Baloza Rabbi Shimon. You have to know that Kol Makom Shatamot Zid V'Rav Shabli Yezib No Shab Yosei Gliya Be'Agoda. If you are ever fortunate enough to come across a Ma'amar Agada that was said by Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Yosef Lili's son, you put your ears there like a cornhopper, and you get every last letter into your heart. And here's what he darshaned, a beautiful drasha, on the pasuk, a very strange pasuk, because Baruch Hu says, Lo mirubchem mikol ha'amim chashak ha'shem bachem v'ichar bachem, ki atem ha'ma'at mikol ha'amim. What does that mean? Lo mirub, what we really thought, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's love would be a function of how large the population is. It's just a funny pasuk. And then to say, because you are the least of all of the amim. I mean, so it's fine, lo mirubchem, because you are the less, it's mashma that there's something valuable dafka in the less. What does that mean? So explain, Rabbi Eliezer ben Asher Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Lili. Amar lama kadosh baruch hu Yisrael, you should know that dafka chokshkani b'chem avcheshik for you guys, because of the fact that atem hama'at, meaning shafilu b'sha'a sh'ani mashpia lachem gedula, I may give you the greatest things, atem ma'atim matzvachem lefanai, you never take credit for yourselves. And you always remind yourself, that's the chat, atem hama'at, you make yourself small. But mikol amim, the other nations are not that way. I give them things and they make themselves stuck up. Natati gedula l'Avraham. I gave this tremendous glory to Avram. He says, Anochi Afar Vaev. I gave all this cover to Meshav Aaron. What was their response? V'nachnu ma. We're nothing. L'David, he says, I'm a worm. Anochi Tolad, Elo Ish. But Mikola Amim, of Deko Chavim, are not like that. Natati Gdulan Nimrod, he writes away, he starts with Ahava Nivna Lanu here. We'll go up to the Shamayim. Will be chelak on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I gave gedula to Paro. He says, who is Hashem? I gave gedula to Sancheret. He starts saying, Mi b'chol Elohei ha'aratzot. There's not a God in the world. Asher yitzilu atatzam miyadi. What? Gosh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to be matzah Yerushalayim.
I gave Gedulah to Nebuchadnezzar. What does he say? I am going to be up in the clouds. I'll make myself similar to God himself. I gave Gedulah to Hiram, Melech Tzor. He says, Moshav Elohim Yashavti B'lev Yamim. I'm sitting there on the divine throne. That's the point. Atem HaMe'at. You are the ones who are Mam'it at Atzbachem. Mikol HaMim from any other nation. Omar Rav of Yitemer of Yoch. Again, this is connected over here. It's from the Anochi Afar Ve'ef. And we continue with that theme. Omar Rav of Yitemer of Yochanan. Gadol Shneemar B'Moshe V'Aharon. Yoter M'Moshe Shneemar B'Avraham. The level of anava that is mentioned with Moshe and Aaron is greater even than the Anochi Afar Ve'efer, which is the Madrega of Avram Avinu. Dilu ba'Avraham k'tiv Anochi Afar Ve'efer. Mash'enke with Moshe v'Aaron, it says v'nachnu ma, nothing. V'yomar Rav v'yitema Rav Yochanan, en ha'olam mitkayim ela b'shvil Moshe v'Aaron. The entire world is dependent on this Madrega of Moshe Aaron, because we find here it says V'nachnu Ma, and we find that in terms of the Tola Oretz, what is the earth dependent on? Tola Oretz Al Belima, those who see themselves, those who see themselves as having nothing. Omer Abilo, there's another meaning to Belima, not Belima, but Belima, meaning shutting up. And that teaches you, Eino Olam Mitkayim, very difficult to keep your mouth shut when you want to respond to somebody or you're arguing with somebody. You shut up and let him say whatever he wants and don't respond. Somebody who's able to do that, the whole world is semech on that. Shenemar tola oretz ablima, on the ability to shut up. Rabbi Abba Omer, there's another. Mi shemesim atzmo kemisha. You know, it's got to go beyond that. It's the meaning of not just shutting up, because you shut up, you may be churning inside, you may be planning revenge, you know, but the real meaning is that you should be absolutely unconcerned. Shenema umitachat. You put yourself beneath everything else. That is the zro'ot olam. That's what keeps the world, what holds the whole world in his arms. Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, my dechtim, ha'umnam elem tzedek tedaberu, meisharim tishpatu b'nei adam. So this is David HaMelech was saying, b'sha'ad, that there he was, he walked in, while Shaul was sleeping, all of Shaul's men, the derech meis, are sleeping. He goes and he takes the chanit of Shaul, takes the water of Shaul, wakes them up and shows them he could have killed them all. And instead, what do they say? Probably somebody stuck it out. It was a fire, you had it there. So he says to them, such was shame. You had an opportunity to be shayfek b'tzedek. You could have told Shaul, look at the guy. He's obviously not interested in harming you. And that's what you had an option. Instead, you tell him this. That's the portion meaning of the pasuk. But we darshin ha'omnam, eloshin of emunah. So what is your emunah? Elem tzedek t'daberum. Meaning, you shut up. And here we're dashing, ha'omnam ilem, the emunah of a person, meaning the thing that he should work on in this world, is learning to shut up. Ma umnuto shel adam ba'olam hazeh. What is the job of a human being in this world? Yasim atzmo ki ilem. He should make himself as if he doesn't know how to talk, not to respond to stupid things. Yochel afa divrei Torah. You might think, don't respond to this. Don't put yourself in it. Matzav, you have to argue, you're going to say a better svara there. No, Talmud Omar, ha'omnam ilayim, but tzedek tedaberum. When it comes to divrei Torah, you should speak tzedek. Yocho yagiz da'ato, you might think that you can allow that to even come to a matzav which you're feeling really good about yourself. Talmud Omar, meisharim tishpatu b'nei adam. Therefore, come, you should be like a mishor. Mishor is to allow everybody to walk over you. So even though you're going to be telling the truth, your words aren't going in, you don't have to sit there talking about how great you are, and they should argue with you, and so on. Let them walk over you. Omer Rebbe Zira, Vitamer Rabba Bar Yirmiya, getting back to what is considered to be the relationship of Afar Ve'efer. So when it comes to the Iran Idaka, we have two things. We have Afar Ve'efer, the Efer of everything that was burned in the city, and there's the actual afar in which the city is built on. So what we took... No, either way, doesn't it? Yeah, it doesn't matter. Tel Olam doesn't mean you'd be covered over with dirt with a bulldozer. It means whatever is left. So you can use the offer of an Ir HaNidachet, and we assume that the offer of Ir HaNidachet means the loose way, the Eifer. So it's talking about that which was burned in it. And since we already learned Afar Srefat Afara, Eifer and Afar interrelated, so Memela, that's what we took it to mean. Rabbanea, please remind me before we leave. I'm afraid I forget them, so I'm interrupting to collect for Reb Shloimeh's tzedakah fund for a show. Okay. Ask the Gemara, why would you be allowed to use the offer of an Ir HaNidachet? Isn't it Isur Hana'ah? I mean, it's considered to be. It says, Lo Yidbak B'yadcha Me'umah Min Acherim. That's what I was talking about. Ir HaNidachet, after you burn it. So how can I? I'm going to burn it, and I'm going to go back and take it in order to be Mekayim my mitzvah. I'm not supposed to take it. Omar Ze'iri, I guess, when it said afar, it means literally afar. It doesn't mean the afar. It means the dirt itself. Lo nitzucha, the soil. Ela lo afar ofra. It means the soil on which it's built. Dechtive et kol shlala tikbotzo toch rechava v'sarafta. We learn from this pasuk that there is no isra on the actual soil, only on the things. Why? Because it says tikbots v'sarafta, meaning misheno mechusar ala kvitza v'sreifa. Only those things that need only to be collected and to be burned. But if you're supposed to actually take the dirt, so then you would have to go dig it up and then be kovitz it and then burn it. But that's not included. That would be mechusar klisha, and then kvitza v'sreifa. Therefore, the Torah is not telling you to destroy the dirt on which it's built. Rava Amar. Rava says, what's your way? You can even learn it's talking about the Eifer. Mitzvot lav le'anot nitnu. That's not considered to be nene from a mitzvah. Because doing a mitzvah is not called hana'ah. And you'll notice how this fits so beautifully with the sugya we said before. The hana'at mitzvah. We were saying, why didn't we include the kisui adam in anofi afar ve'efer? Because we're looking for the hana'ah that you get out of the mitzvah. So here we want to clarify. Well, the same fact. That has nothing to do with the etzem fact of the mitzvah. Mitzvah is not letting us, doing a mitzvah is not considered to be getting hanoah for yourself. Yotav Ravina v'kom ala l'shmaita. So Ravina said this over. And Rav Ruchumi asked, Eitve Rav Ruchumi l'Ravina. If you're right in following what Rava said, the mitzvah lav le'not nitnu, how do you explain the fact that you cannot use a shofar of avodat kochavim for tkiya on Rosh Hashanah? Shofar shel avodat kochavim lo yitkabo. Which I assume means, when you say lo yitkabo, it means imtaka lo yatsa, that you're not yotzin with it. So it's considered to be something that is not ro'i for usage. That's not so, that's so poshut at all. What is going on over here? What do we need to bring in the question of whether you're yotzin or not? I mean, we were just talking about whether it's ulcer. The question whether it says whether it's ulcer. It's enough of a question, Rava, no? So why do we have to get into this thing? So apparently the Gemara understands up front that there's an obvious difference between using a shofar to be meratzet HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who take a shofar of Hadizara, and Kisi Adam, which is meant to be dirt. I mean, who cares? If you can use Zevel, you can use any shofar as Kachomim. Because there's nothing to do. Yeah, exactly. It's not the Torah is not telling you to use a dover or kedusha in any way. But over here, it's obviously to go and to bring an Ir HaNidachet or Avodah Zarah, to bring it in and say, this is going to be. It's disgusting. It's disgusting. So, Mimela, I understand that we don't want you to use. That's not the point. The question is, would you be yotze? Now, that raises another issue. And let's say it's Isra Anoah. So why would you not be yotze? No. On the contrary, we bring this as a proof of against Rav that mitzvahs are land. But even so therefore what? So you did an iser. You did an iser. So who's to say that therefore you're not yotze mitzvah? Because you did an iser. You took something that was Isuriana, but you meanwhile you're Mekayim the mitzvah. It doesn't need to be mine. Okay, so this is a question among the Rishonim. What would be the reason that the Gemara is taken for granted that if it was Yisuri Hana, that then you wouldn't be Yotze either, if mitzvahs are Le'anot Nito, and that's what we're assuming. The Rashba has a very interesting svara that doesn't come out to mitzvah by Bideira. He says that since in this case the Isra Hano would be the mitzvah proper, then including the Isra Hano is that you wouldn't be yet the mitzvah and that way wouldn't be Nene. No, the Torah is telling you not just you shouldn't, but you won't get Hano from mitzvah. I won't give you the mitzvah and the male won't be Nene. It's a very fascinating svara. But in any event.
Isn't something else going on with the Aaron and Dodgers? It's a hero, it's a positive, not.
But that's not more than Israel, no? Anyways, according to this, why would you not be Yotze? No. Imtaka Yotze, you would be Yotze. So why not use it? Because it's ridiculous to use. How would I be Maratze Takarish Baruch using it, something that's Moses from Israel? Doesn't make any sense. Same thing is true of a lulav. A lulav is also coming to be Maratze. To bring us mayim and sukkahs, you're going to take a lulav of Avedus Kecharim to be meratz. Also, doesn't make sense. But if I assume that lulav shel avodat kochavim lo yitol means that im natal lo yatsa, so then it would prove that the isra hana'ah does affect even something which is a chayv shel mitzvah. In which case, Rava would be wrong, because you see, from here mitzvot are le'anot nitnu. No, here too means im natal yatsa. Well, it's a very nice pshat, except for the unfortunate brayta that says beferish that that's not what it means. V'atanya taka lo yatsa, that if you did the tekiyah on a shofar of avodas kochavim, you're not yotze. Natal, you take a lulav of avodas kochavim, you're not yotze. So you see, there's no way out of it. Must be the rov is wrong. Mitzvahs are le'anos nitnu, and since there's an isra na'ah, you're not going to be yotze. Omer Avashi, what are you talking about? What are you comparing this to the question of whether you can use it for kisei adam? There's no connection with lulav. There's a whole other issue over here. Does a lulav have to be a certain height? Yes, it has to be 4 tefachim. Does a shofar have to be a certain length? Yes, it has to be sufficient to be a tefach, plus a little bit more, they could get it on either side. Do I have a technical shiur on something that's osur ba'anah? No. Why? Because anything that is made to be burned doesn't have the chashivas of a shir. That's the problem. It has nothing to do with the Isra Hanah. It has to do with the fact that it's missing its shir, which of course is no shir when it comes to the din of Kisei Adam. What are you going to say? It's as if each particle is reduced to a molecule. No, great. The smaller it is, the better. What do you want? You want a type of kisui that's going to be absorbed. That's great. You want to technically turn it into a bunch of loose molecules. That's the best possible kisui. So what's your problem? So, yes, what kind of silly comparison? Hatam, the din by shofar, the din by lulav. Is he need a shiur? Shiur abayina. Since it's avodat kochavim and you're supposed to be burning it, so it's k'tutim michtat shiurei. It's ground up. It doesn't have, it's technically, halachically speaking, not a shiur. It's as if it's ground up. What are you going to say over here by Kisei Adam? It's as if it's ground up, great. It's even better. So for koma de michta, the more you grind it up, the less of a shiur it has, the more kosher it is. If you have a kli, it's not kosher at all. Chol agas is not kosher at all. So the bigger it is, the worse it is. Mamela, it's in compress. Nothing to do with mitzvot le'anot nitnu. And therefore, Rava stands completely, not even getting into the issues. Don't have to get into the question of ritzui with the double most. Nothing. It's very simple. It's a function of shiurim. Hadran aloch kisui adam.
Bli neder. Function of helike peret.
And the wonder looks so tired. Must have been practicing all night. Gid hanashe. Okay, so here we start with our very special parak of Gid hanashe, which has all the inyonim of tarovis in it. It's like the big smicha parak, you know, you gotta learn. The reason, of course, it has all of the dinim of tarovis in it is because that's what Gid hanashe was all about. Case of wanting to take a role together with Yaakov Avinu. And that's exactly what Tarovis is. That's why he wanted to be Marchik Esav completely. So Mamela, this becomes now the one area of vulnerability is that vulnerability in the Gid Hanashe. That's why Gid Hanashe, the mitzvah that's Nageah, the Gid Hanashe, each day is connected one of the mitzvahs, 360 mitzvahs, is the Tisha B'Av, is connected that day. And that's the day of the Churban. It's connected that mitzvah. So Mamela, all of the issues of mixed mixed intents, and all of the cheshek mishtamshim beruvia, there's all the way back to my expression, comes down to Gidan Moshe. But we follow the formula that we've had all along in all of these last brachim, in which we talk about Tnoi Ba'aretz, Bechutz La'aretz, Bifnei Abayit Shelo Bifnei Abayit, Bechulin, Bemugdashim, and Mela, okay, we need to justify that statement by finding one of these things that's a chiddush. What, which one would be a chiddush? We're going to try to look at. V'noit b'veima u'v'chaya, b'yerach shel yamin u'v'yerach shel shmol. Both sides, both legs, have a gidan asha. This, of course, is not chokas. We'll see later on. The Rabbi Yehuda told me noeg b'one. Be'echad mi. V'eino noeg b'oth. But there's no gidan asha that is on a bird, not because a bird doesn't have a sciatic nerve, but because it says beferish gitch al kaf hayarech. The kaf hayarech does not exist in a bird. Simply not there. And because of that, there is no din of the gitanosha, because that's not the gitch al hakaf. Now, just in order to illustrate this very clearly, everybody knows what a thigh of a bird looks like, because we always eat that. That's the part that, no. The polka is under the thigh. The polka is the leg. The thigh, there's nothing rounded on the thigh. That is a long piece of meat.
A triangle.
So this is what the thigh of a bird looks like, right? This piece up here. Now this piece up here, this piece up here, all you vegetarians have never seen the thigh of a bird. This piece up here above the polka, that's the thigh. Doesn't have any equivalent to the quadriceptic muscle of an animal, which is exactly in the shape of, you can see here, a cuff. It's like a rounded, completely rounded muscle that the bird doesn't have in that shape at all. Mamela, the Torah Bedavka concentrates on cuff. It's telling you that there's no Gidanosha on a bird, because there is no cuff. Okay. One picture is worth a thousand words.
No, so even if there's all this, it might have the nerve system running through
the nerve system,
but it doesn't have that.
The gita is a nerve or the tendon?
No, it's the sciatic nerve, but there are tendons that are attached also. Run along, and we're going to see in the Gemara. So here you can see where the nerve runs actually in the picture. I show you a dotted line. That's a little difficult to pick it out and to actually remove it with all of its attendant pieces of fat and so on and so forth, which we're going to see later is all part of what needs to be taken out. And that's the next thing the Mishnah is going to be talking about also. Furthermore, we have a machloket. Noeg b'shlil. So according to Tanakam, if you have a embryo that is fully formed, then even though it hasn't been born, it has a gidan asher, and that's considered to be its own gidan asher. It's not an internal organ of its mother which has something that looks like a gidan asher. It has its own gidan asher. Now, of course, this is dependent in the overall machloket about how we view a fully formed embryo that's capable of its own life in its mother's uterus. No, this is still inside the uterus, hasn't been born. And Rabbi Yehuda Meshitato says, "Eino noeg b'shlil." We'll see later on in the Gemara. Once we'll be going over that sheet of Rabbi Yehuda. Ve'ina tabachim ne'amanim agidan asher. Did Rabbi Meir? Sorry, ve'chelbo mutar. Now chelbo mutar is the one way of understanding. You see in the Gemara that there's two possibilities here. Chelbo mutar could mean the chelev of the shlil, because that's dependent on the same question. Is this chelev, or is it an analog to chelev in an internal organ of the mother? Right? So it would mean chelbo mutar. Another way of learning it is the chelev of the gid, and that would require reinterpretation of this piece of the Mishnah, which we'll see in the Gemara. Because of the fact that it's so difficult to get rid of a gidan asher, if a tabach tells you I did a good job and it's all perfectly removed and you can eat the hindquarters, you cannot believe it. Need somebody else, it's going to be made that he took it off. Not true. even though it's a lot of Torah, he has believed, and he's believed on removing all of the long seams of prohibited fats as well. He's nemanim alav ala chelev. We'll see in the Gemara that clearly Rabbi Meir was arguing the chelev as well, even though he only talks about the Gidon Dash. Asks the Gemara, what do you mean when you say that the Gid is noeg amugdashim? Why in the world wouldn't it be? You start off with an animal that has an Isser Gidon Dash. Now you wave your hands over, I dub the Kodesh. So somehow or other that Kiddush is going to remove the Isser of the Gidon Dash, everyone. How would I think such a thing? It's crazy. I mean, cheetah. Well, Bishum Da'akdashe Pakala Yisr Gidbinek. Just because you make it Kodesh, somehow or other the Kedusha is going to remove the Yisr Gidon Nosha. But what's even the Havamina? The Chitema, maybe you'll say that no, this is coming to tell me a tremendous Chiddush. It's coming to tell me actually two separate Chiddush. First of all, it's coming to tell me that it's Noeg B'Kodesh means that an animal that's Kodesh, which would have an Isser for you to be Nene from. And not only that, but if it were nicer, and, or other Isser Ekedesh, you could come, Pigo, it would come to an Chi of Karis. So, it's coming to tell me, even though it's a Gidon Asher, it's still Nae when the animal is Kedesh, too. So, in other words, it would be telling me that a Gidon Asher can be Kodesh. So that if I ate it, I would be over on the Yisr of Kodesh too. What's the Chiddush in that? There's two Chiddush. First of all, who is to say that the Gidon Nasha is considered to be edible meat?
The Gid itself.
Yeah. I mean, this is a machloket. Whether Yesh Begidin Benotin Tam or Ein Begidin Benotin Tam. Do we view this as edible meat, or do we say, look, for all I'm concerned, it's a piece of wood. The Torah says you're not allowed to eat this piece of wood. It's my business whether it has a taste or not. It doesn't have a taste. But if it doesn't have a taste, obviously it would be like eating the horn of an animal that's Kedush. Don't you certainly eat the horn of an animal that's Kedush? It's like eating your pigskin walnut. It has to be roi for achila. If it's not roi for achila, there's no Yisurim attached to it. So first of all, it would be telling me a Kedush that no, you should know there are Yisurim Kedush attached to it. It must mean that it's meat. In which case it has no sintam. That's Kiddush number one. Kiddush number two is, how did the Isser of Kedesh come onto something that was already Usser as a Gidon Asher if there's an Inyan of Ein Isser Chalal Isur? So if the animal ostensibly begins by growing in its mother's essence, if it's Noik B'Shlil, so it grows up with a Gidon Asher, then you're going to say one day it's Kedesh. So how did the part of the Kedusha come to be Chal on the part that was already Yisr of a Gid? See, if the Mishnah is teaching me this Kiddush, that you can have a Kodesh animal where you'll be over both on the Gidon Asher and on the Kodesh, it's a tremendous Kiddush. Because first of all, it's telling you that Yesh Begidim and Otei Tam. And secondly, it's telling you, Va'ati Yisr Mugdashim, that even though there was an Yisr Gid, somehow or the other, the Yisr of a Kodesh would be Chal on the Isser Gid. Why would it be? Well, for a number of reasons. First of all, it's an Isser Kolel. Why is it Isser Kolel? Remember that when an Isser includes within it a broader spectrum of things. That's it. The Isser Gid includes one thing and one thing only, the Gidon Asher. Now I'm adding the Isser Mugdashim on this Gidon Asher, which also makes an Isser Mugdashim on the entire animal. All the meat that previously was okay. Now it's not okay. So now it's inclusive. A more inclusive Isser is Chal on a less inclusive Isser. So then it would be Chal, Isser, Chal, al Isser. Not to mention the fact that it's also Mosif Isser. Here it becomes an Isser Karet, an Isser Lav. I mean, the Gidon Asher is only an Isser Lav. Over here it's adding also the fact that if this were Pigel or Nicer, whatever other Isser were involved, that could be a more Chomer Isser. So I'd be over. Maybe that's good for the Chiddush of the Tana. That's a tremendous Kiddush. The problem is that then it's saying the wrong thing. Because what should it be saying? It should say, you should know that Mugdashim are Noeg and the Gidon Asher. Not that the Gidon Asher is Noeg and Mugdashim. Because that's what you're saying. You're saying, even though there was a Gidon Asher, when I make it Kiddush, it becomes more us, right? But that's not what it says. It says that despite the fact that it's Kodesh, the Yisr Gid is knowing on the Kodesh. Then it's the other direction. That can't be what it means. So then, I mukdashim noy begid mi bayalei. What it should have said is exactly the opposite. That mukdashim can be chal on the gid anashim. Oh, you know what? Maybe it means exactly the opposite. Maybe that's the whole point. Maybe it means that the gid anashim and only the gid anashim is noig b'mukdashim. So you might think that this animal has also the Isra of Kadesh. Maybe the Tana is coming to exactly the opposite. Ain't begin in Menaisin Tam. Therefore, the only Isra that could possibly be here is the Isra Gid Anasha, because for as far as Kadesh is concerned, you might as well be nibbling on the animal's horns. It's not considered to be meat. It's not edible. Why are you over on the Gid Anasha? Terry said you're over on nibbling on a horn. But only for Gid Anasha. So therefore, maybe that's the point. Then Ein Begidim Menotin Tam. And therefore, by Mukdashim, you will always only have the Isser of Gid, and never have the Isser of Mukdashim. Isser Gid Ika, Isser Mukdashim Leka. We were reading it wrong. We thought it was saying, Gid Anasha is not Igbu Mukdashim, to teach me that the Isser Kadesh would be on the Gid. But it can't mean that. So maybe it means Isser Gid is Noyeg, only Isser Gid is Noyeg in Mukdashim. No other Isser could be Chal on the Gid Anosh, because it's not edible. That would be a big kiddush to tell me that ain't Begidim and Isser Tana. Yeah, but there's one problem with that. This Tana of our Parag Gid Anosh does not hold that ain't Begidim and Otin Tana, because the entire structure of the Parag is, as I said, built around the question of tarovet. That means the mixture of kosher meat and unkosher, right? And the main Mishnah that deals with that topic is what happens if you cook a piece of hindquarter without removing the Gid Hanash. So the Mishnah later on, which starts us off on this whole path, is going to say that you have to analyze whether there was 60, right? But no same time. Well, if the gid doesn't have any taste, what are you talking about? Menoi Sintam. So the whole point of the parak is that yesh begidim menoi Sintam. What are you talking about? The opening parak is coming to tell me the ain begidim menoi Sintam. It's crazy. There may be a man the amar holds ain begidim menoi Sintam, but it sure can't be the basis of the Tan of our Mishnah, where that's the main focus of the whole parak. So the hatanid sabar hatanid idan ain begidim menoi Sintam. How could you think such a thing? That our Tana should open up the parak by saying the Kiddush that there can't be an Isra Mukdashim on the Gid Anasha because the Gid Anasha has no taste. If the point of the parak is to talk about the taste of the Gid Anasha, Vatzran Yerech Shnit Bashel Bagid Anasha, the classic source text, the Dinam of Tarovet, where you cooked a Yerech with the Gid Anasha in it, Im Yeshba Venotein Ta'am Arezo Asura. If there's a nice in time in that Yerech, and man, I mean, what that means, what the issues that are open by that Mishnah are incredible. Does that include the water in the pot? Does it mean that the entire Yerech is Osir? It's only the taste that's Osir. Is there a way to get out that taste? I mean, it's like the entire Shulchan Aruch, all that is based on that Mishnah, which is all built around the concept of B'nai Sintam. So what are you talking about? That the Mishnah Chiddush is that Ein Begidim B'nai Sintam. It's simply absurd. So that can't be the explanation. So what is the explanation? Okay, we have to change our focus. We had the problem all along of asking my dear Richie, who I love so much, but who was half asleep.
Halfway.
You have to look at the half a cup, right?
No, no.
You want a half a cup of coffee?
On a bottle of coffee?
You
got a jar.
There you go.
So we remember the entire issue that we had is just because you made it Kadesh, you're going to take off to get Anush. How's that going to happen? Let's change the story. Let's not talk about a case where we start off with a Gid Anasha, and now I'm coming to say the Harez Shlomi, I'd say, right? By the way, just that you should know, there's a question of whether we're talking over here about a carbon Eilo or the same Mukdashim, which none of it is given to us to eat, or whether we're talking about Mukdashim and are given to us to eat, like a Shlomi. I'm going to see later on. Okay. But whatever the case would be, Shlomi, Eilo, whatever the case is, maybe that's not what we're talking about. Maybe we're talking about Dafka, V'lodai Skotcha, not a Kodesh that I made, an animal that was Kodesh and then became pregnant, now it's going to have a child. So the din is that Vladai Skachim are Kodesh. Now, there is a machlokes, at what point they become Kodesh? Are they Kodesh as they grow in the womb? Are they Kodesh only after they're born? That's the question. Vladot Kodeshim, bim e'iman hem Kodeshim? Are they Kodesh in their mother's uterus? Or Bahavayatan in Kodeshim? As they come into the world, they're Kodesh. Okay. Now, what we would have to say is that the Kodesh is like this. First of all, that the Tana would say, Noyeg B'shlil. In other words, as the animal develops, it has, in its mother's uterus, it has a Gira Noshim. But, at the same time, it also has the Isser of Kodesh. Because the Tana would also have Vladot Kodashim, Bim E Iman Hin Kodashim. That they become Kodesh as they grow. Well, what does that mean? That the Isser Gid and the Isser of Kodesh come hand in hand. Because they, hey, because they're both instantaneous, right? As the animal develops, the moment that it develops, it's Kodesh and has a Gid. So then, there's no question of Ein Isser Chalal Isser, because wherever you have a bevat achat, you can't say which is it comes first. Maybe that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Tremendous chiddush. That since, I mean, it's telling me, first of all, that it's noig b'shlil. It's telling me that vlad is kachim b'bet yibad ha'kidosh. That's great. Okay? And therefore, the Mishnah is saying, you should know that the Gidan Darsha is noig b'mugdashim because it develops hand in hand with the Yisr of Kesh. Problem is, that you can't say that. How can you say it's talking about a Vlad if the Mishnah turns its attention to Noyeg B'Shlil only after making this statement? So the opening gambit of the Mishnah over here is Noyeg B'Mugdashim, right? And then it continues on after discussion, whether it's the right or the front, it says V'Noyeg B'Shlil and Rabbi Yehuda Omer Eino Noyeg B'Shlil. The way you're reading it, the opening words were talking about a shlil. So what are we suddenly looking at the shlil? A shlil is b'ne'imah. So obviously we weren't talking about that case until later. So how can you say it's talking about a shlil? V'amidiktani seifa. If only after the discussion of this whole piece, it comes to say noyeg b'shlil, then clearly at the beginning it wasn't talking about a shlil. Michlal d'reisha lav b'shlil askina. No, come on, that's not so bad. You could say that the Mishnah opens up with a statement that takes for granted that it's Noyeg Bevlodes Kacha Bimei Iman, which is a shiur. And then it gets to discussing it. By the way, the issue that we spoke about as if it was so simple and that it's Noyeg Bishlil is in reality a machlokas between a Tanakama and Rebbe Yehuda, and we want to clue you in that that's not Divrei HaKol. The Mishnah does that sometimes. So that could still be acceptable. Hakikoma, Dover Ze, what we just said, is really about Chorkas Rebbe Yehuda Rabban. Yeah, but there's still going to be a problem. You know what the problem is? That it still has to happen simultaneously in order for it to be an Isser, Ein Isser Chalal Isser problem, right? That no problem, Ein Isser Chalal Isser, has to be Bevat Achat. I'm going to show you that you haven't addressed the Bevat Achat. Why? Because the Gid HaNasheh does not make its appearance in the Vlad until after the Vlad has reached a certain stage of development. But the Yisr Kodesh would have been called before. I'm going to prove this to you. Because, how can you claim that they come together when we have an issue that relates to this in the whole Mishnah of Al Elu Tum Ot HaNazir Megaleah? There are various tum'ot that a nazir has to start all over again. He's megaleach and starts recounting any of the days of the nazirut that was mona. And that's only meit. In certain types of tum'ot are meit, because the Torah says, I'll call meit lo yavo, not on other tum'ot. So over there it's v'chiyamut meit alav, and it's we darsh what that means. So it says, al ha-meit, v'al kezayit min ha-meit. That's a little bit weird. I mean, if we know that he has to start over, if he comes in contact, even with the kizayit of basar, so we have to mention an entire body. Obviously, if even a kizayit basar is sufficient, then he has to be sekoshken kizayit miname v'kashlam. So we ask that. You told me kizayit miname v'galeach sekoshken. If you say kizayit miname, al kulo lo koshken. And the only way we came to understand it was through what Rabbi Yochanan explained. That what it's talking about over here is where you have an entire mate, but it doesn't have a kezayit basan. And what is that? Lo nizchel lenefel. It's talking about an embryo, which was fully formed, but which has not yet formed gidin. Now, when it hasn't formed gidin, it doesn't have a kezayit of basar yet. But nonetheless, it's considered to be a mate. It's considered to be a full body. So it's a full body without a kezayit of basar. Right? Okay, but what does that show you? It shows you that even though it has its evarim, it doesn't necessarily have a gidin nash, because it yet wasn't fully formed. If that's the case, Alma, so that teaches you that the moment that it starts to be formed as an Uber, you're telling me that the Uber has a din of Kedesh with Bei Iman. So that means that it was Mukdashim first, before it even got a Gid Adasha. When it gets its Gid Adasha, that means that the Isra of the Gid Adasha is not Kabit Bevatachat. So therefore, it would be saying that Isra Mukdashim is Kodim. How can you say, therefore, that the Isra Gid Adasha would now be Chal on the Kodesh? Now remember, up until now, we had the question the other direction. We're assuming we're starting with the Gid Adasha. The animal is born, and at some point, I made it into a carbon. So we asked, okay, well, so then how did the Mukdashim come to be Chal on the Gid Adasha? Now we're asking the other direction. If we're talking about the Shlil, so that means that the Mukdashim came first. How did the Gid Adasha come to be Chal on the Isser of Kadesh? Oh, it says the Gemara, that's not a problem. If it's in that direction, it's obvious how that happened. Because Afagav, the Isser Mukdashim Kadim, even though it's true that it became Kodesh first, the Isser Giranasha is more Chomor. It is going to be Chal on the Isser of Kodesh. Why? Because we're going to see later on that Rabbi Yehuda says that since the Isser Giranasha was Chal on Bnei Yaakov, and that actually is a machloket. But Rabbi Yehuda's shita is that at the moment, immediately after the fight with Esav, Alkein lo yochlu Bnei Yisrael refers to the children of Yisrael literally, not to the Bnei Yisrael that grow afterwards at the time of Kabbalat HaTorah into an Am. So if that's the case, it means that even while the Bnei Yaakov still had a din of Bnei Noah, they weren't yet chayim and tayim mitzvahs, there was on them an additional mitzvah of Gid Adasha. So that means that Gid Adasha was an Isser that was noyeg b'bnei noyach, not on the goyim of b'nei noyach, but on this family of b'nei noyach. And therefore, since it's more chomer in being more primal, so more primal will be chal on less primal. Oh, this is run away, wait, just hold on a minute. Man shamat lehi svar, who is the one that says that the Gid Adasha is noyeg b'nei noyach? That is Rabbi Yehuda, as we're going to see later on. But our mission is clearly not going Alib to Rabbi Yehuda. How do I know it's not going Alib to Rabbi Yehuda? It says, Noeg Bebeim Ubechaya, Beyerach Shal Yamin, Ubeyerach Shal Simol, and Rabbi Yehuda says, Beferish, Ain't a Noeg Elabachad, man. It's not Noeg in both right and left. It's Noeg only in one. I'm not sure which one. But it's Noeg only in one. So, I mean, how can you say it's going Alib to Rabbi Yehuda? That's not so terrible. I mean, I'm not suggesting that the Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda. Obviously, the Mishnah here has a machlokas. Rabbi Yehuda says, ain't a noy b'shmul. That's not the point. Whoever the Tana of the Mishnah is may hold of Rabbi Yehuda in that thing and not hold of him in the other thing. So, hai Tana sarvala kavate b'chada. Maybe our Tana agrees that it was noy b'bnei noyach at the time. And he disagrees about whether it's the right side or the left side or both sides. And he holds that it's noyeg, both beregel sheyamin, yerek sheyamin, yerek shesmol. So he's polygalei b'chada. I'm not suggesting it's literally Rabbi Yehuda. Yes, it's the Gemara, but even so, Rabbi Yehuda never said that the Gid Adasha will be chal on Kadesh. Kadesh is an iser that's very chomer. It can lead you to an iser koret. All he said is that it's noyeg in a non-kosher animal. In a behemoth man. Behemoth to me is a lot. No, you're telling me that the Isra of eating the Gid Adasha is more primal and therefore more chomer than eating, let's say, a pig. Okay, that's what he said. Did Rabbi Yehuda ever say that the fact that it's more primal means that it's more chomer than Isra Karet? He never said that. So, well, who's to say that the Gid Adasha would be chal on Kadesh? You'd be saying that just because it's more primal, it's considered to be chomer enough to be chal up over and above an isser that can lead you to an isser karet. I don't see any basis for such an assumption. That's an isser lav bialma, but kachim, which can include an isser karet. Mishametle, did you ever see that Rabbi Yehuda would have suggested that the fact that it's more primal would mean that it would be chal on kodesh? Never. Okay, fine. I take it back. I have a different approach. My approach is like this. We're talking about an animal, a non-Kodesh animal. Kulin. Great. And it's about to give birth to its firstborn. Now, as its firstborn, Mazel Tov, you're right. As its firstborn is born, but only as it's born, it becomes Kodesh. Doesn't become there for sure. We don't have the of Bime'e'iman. It's not going to become Kodesh in its mother's belly, because the Torah says Dafka, that it's dependent in Peterechem, right? Okay, so we're talking about Emivakeret, and Berechem, now Kodesh, only at the moment of birth is it Kodesh, which means that the Vlad did not get the Isser of Kachim. It only got the Isser of Kachim at the moment that it was born. Comes along the Tana to teach us that even though normally Gid HaNoshe would not be noig with Kodesh, because either if it's talking about a Vlad, then the Yisrael Mokdoshim was Chal, and Yisrael Gid HaNoshe can't be Chal on it, but there is a Kodesh that it is Chal on, and that is a Bechor, because they're Mamonavshach. If it's noig B'Shalil, then it came first. If it's not noig B'Shalil, it came at the same moment that Kodesh was Chal, the instant of birth. So no matter how you look at it, there is a case where Gid HaNoshe is noig b'mukdash, and that would be the chiddush. Brilliant. I'm not committing you to either approach. I don't know when it was chal. Doesn't matter. Because no matter how you look at it, it's going to still be chal. Or you know what? We might be talking about a kodesh animal, not a chulin animal. And maybe the Tana Dafka holds that vladot kodashim become kodesh only at the instant of birth. So vladot kodashim b'avayatanen kodashim, which leads to the same amount of shot. So if it was noig b'shlil, fine. If it's not noig b'shlil, then it was chal at the same moment that the kodesh is chal. Perfectly. Wonderful. To be continued. Om Rebaba. Kosh ha-gezel ha-ne'echal shafirot tzedakim gemurim en ha-ne'echolin la-chaziro shremer b'ladai rak kasher achlu ha-ne'arim Om Rebbe Yochanan b'shum Rebbe Elazar b'Rebbe Shimon. You should know that kol makom shata motzit dvarav shel Rabbi Yezir ben Rabbi Yezir Yigli ve'agada. Listen carefully. It says the Chakafar Chesed. He dashes like this. Lo mirubchem mikol amim chashak Hashem b'chem ki atem ama'at mikol amim. Amar lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu yizroch hoshkani b'chem. Sha'afilu b'sha'a sh'ani mashpia lechem gidula atem ha'me'at mima'atim atzbechem lefanai. Notati gidula l'Avraham amar lefanai anochi atfar v'esfer. L'Moshe ve'Aaron, amav v'nachnu ma. L'David, amav v'nochi tola'at v'lo ish. Avodei kochavim enoken, natati gdola l'nimrod. Amar hova nivlalonu iro shoba shamayim. L'faro, amav mi Hashem. L'sangherv, amav mi b'chol alohi aratzot asher yitzil. L'nivuchanetzer, amav ele abomotei av. L'chiram belakzorom, amoshav Elohim yashavti b'lev yamim. Omar Ravi Vitim Rabbi Yochanan Gadol Shneimar B'Moshe Ve'Aaron Yoter Mima Shneimar B'Avraham Dilu B'Avraham K'tiv Anochi Afar Ve'Efer, which is something, whereas by Moshe Ve'Aaron K'tiv V'Nachnu Ma. Omar Ravi Vitim Rabbi Yochanan Ola Mitkayim Ela B'Shvil Moshe Ve'Aaron K'tivacha V'Nachnu Ma V'Chtivacham Tola Eretz Al B'Lima. Omar Ravi Yelayin Ola Mitkayim Ela Shvil Misha Bolim B'Lima Et Atzmo B'Shat Meriva. Shemer Tola Eretz Al Belima. Rabbi Abba Omer, Bishme Sima Tzvok Bishaino. Shemer Umitachat. He's beneath everything. He becomes Zraot Olam. Om Rabbi Tumaitech Liva Onam Elen Tzedek Daberu Mishem Tukani Adam. We darshan ha Omnam Elen. That is to say, Maom Nutoshel Adam Bolam Azer Yasima Tzvok Elen. Yochol Af to Divrei Torah. Talmud Omar, no, tzedek to the Beirun. Yocho yagista aton. Talmud Omar, make yourself like a mishor and meisharim tishpitu b'nei adam. Omer Rebbe Zeiro v'item Rabba Bar Yirmiyah, mechasin be'afar iranidachat, which we assume means efer iranidachat. Ve'im yisurei hana'ar. V'amai, Yisrael na'o. Amaziri lo nitzchev ala afar ofra. Dechtiv et kol shlala tikbots atoch rechava. V'sarafta, mishenu b'chutzar l'kvitza v'srifa. Yatsa ze the afar, which is b'chutzar t'lisha, and then kvitza v'srifa. Rav amai, no, I could mean efer. Mitzvot lav lo enot nitnu. Yotar v'inev kamala l'shmaita. If it says that a shofar of avodat kochavim lo yitkabo, which I assume means my love, imtaka lo yatsa, no, imtaka yatsa. And lulav shel avodat kochavim lo yitov, which I assume means that imnata lo yatsa, no, it means imnata yatsa. And what about the brighter that says taka lo yatsa? Natal lo yatsa. Om Ravashi, no, what's the comparison? Hatam shiura be'ina. Since it's avodat kochavim and meant to be burned, kitute michtat shiura. Masha'im came over here by the kisui adam, the offer koma de machtit male le kisui. Hadron alach kisui adam. Gira no shenoi gorot at the chutzlars b'fneyam bayit shal b'fneyam bayit b'chulina v'u k'tashim. V'noeg b'veimav v'chaya v'yarek sh'yemin v'yarek sh'asmol. Eino noeg b'auf b'pnei she'in lo kaf. V'noeg b'shvil, Rabbi Romer, eino noeg b'shvil. V'chelbo mutar v'ina tabakim ne'amanim ha'gira no shedi v'Rabbi Meir. V'chachamim omim ne'amanim alav v'ala chelab. Mukdashim, I should hope so, but just because we should be Akish or Pakala, you should give me name. V'chitema, maybe the Kiddush is that, no, that it's coming to tell me there could be an Yisru Mukdashim in the Ginnim. The Yesh beginim in Otein Tam. And the Yisru Mukdashim is Chayel because it is a Kail or it's a Mesiv on the Yisru Gid. So then it should have said Mukdashim is knowing the Gid, not Gid is knowing the Mukdashim. Okay. I said maybe just the opposite. Because if I ain't beginim in Otein Tam, and it's coming to say Gid Anosh and only Gid Anosh is knowing the Mukdashim. So by Mukdashim, Isser Gid Ike, so Mukdashim Lekap. That's crazy. How can you say that? Sovatani Didan ain't beginning in Isin Tam. I mean, the whole point of the central mission of the Perek is that Yesh beginning in Isin Tam. But then Yerach Shnit Bashel Bagid Anashe, Im Yesh Bominotin Tam, Rezra Asura. Okay, let's try again. So Elohacha, maybe we're not talking about a case where you made it Kodesh, and therefore you have the problem of just because you made it Kodesh, Bokaka, Yisra, good. No, it's talking about that actually it was Kodesh on its own. So we're talking about Vlodos Kodesh Maskina, and then we could say that the Gid Anosha is Noyeg while it's still developing in the uterus, because the Tana would also have Vlodos Kodesh Bimei Iman and Kedoshim, in which case the Yisra Kodesh and the Yisra Gid develop simultaneously. We used to give Yisra Mukdashim, Bari Adarek Ati, and that's good for what it's coming to tell us, that there's no problem of Yisra Chalal Yisra because it's Bevat Achat. First of all, how can you say it's talking about a Shlil? Well, Miriktani Seifa Noeg B'Shlil, isn't it clear that the Reisha was not referring to Shlil? No, why? Maybe it's just saying, Achikomer. Dover Zedah, we just presented. Here's about Chokit Rabbi Yonavar. Okay, but even so, mimatzitanu tarvaya behadi adani kaatu, vatznan alelu tumata nazir migaleach, alameit, valkezait bin ameit. Now, didn't make any sense, because the obvious question, kashalan, if on a kezait bin ameit is going to be migaleach, so koshken on the entire meit is going to be migaleach, so kololo koshken, comes along Rabbi Yochanan, and he explained the only possible thing we're referring to is a nefa shalonik shua evorav begidin. So what do you see? That Gidim develop later on in the embryological development. So you see that Yisra Mukdashim is Kadim. Okay, but that's not a problem. Even if Yisra Mukdashim is Kadim, Ati Yisra Gidit Chayil, because Yisra Gid is Chomor, because it's Noeg B'Bnei Noach, and therefore it's primal. Oh, now hold on a minute. Ma Shabbatai Haisvara, that it was Noeg with Bnei Yaakov literally. That's Rabbi Yehuda. But our Mishnah can't be going like Rabbi Yehuda. Diktani Noeg B'Vei Ma'u V'Chaya, Beyerach shal yamin over Yerach shal small, and whereas Rabbi Yehuda is the source of the Shita that says no, it's only Noeg be'echad man. No, okay, so it's not Rabbi Yehuda, but it's a Tana that Sovel akavate bechada that it's Noeg b'vnei Noach, upolig alei bechada that he holds it's Noeg in both thighs. Yeah, but even so, emet hashamet el Rabbi Yehuda dafka that in Isser chal al Isser that's more primal is chal on an animal that's tmeya, which is an Isser lav biyama, but kachim, which is an Isser karet, because it could lead you to an Isser karet. Where did he ever say it? Mishamatle? Elohakabimavakeretaskina. We're talking about something that is not Kodesh. The Vlad becomes Kodesh only when it's born. The Berechem Kodesh. So therefore, Mimanavshach. If the Gid was Naik Bishlil, so the Gid came first, then the Issigid is Naik. And if it's Chal only as it's born, so it was Chal Bavadachat. But either way, if the Gid is Naik Bimukdash. Vibaitema. Maybe it is talking about Kodesh. But now that I made it Kodesh, Kodesh is at the moment it became Kodesh. That was the recording from the 12th cycle, today's Daf Yomi. Here is the recording of the previous cycle, cycle number 11 of the equivalent Daf. Quite a different ambient, quite a different attendance. You may like to review the Daf with it, or perhaps use it as your actual initial learning. Enjoy.
I'm holding a left page test. Easy to remember that that's the dot that Gita Masha begins on, because it talks about heat. So we got up to about quarter of the way down, and we're up to Omer of Abba. So the truth is, we were in the middle, really, of the drushes about Avram Avinu. We had said enough the author of Eifel, and we learned from the post of Bifut Batsuf. Now, the scar of the Hanas Mitzvah of Kutchat Chavas and with Tzur Shatfilim. That was the last thing that we explained. Was that the Tchut Shotcheles is also a Hanot, it's not just a Makshir and Mitzvah, because it's very much on the Baruch Zikorin of us. So it continues now, Rav Abba, on the Posik, in which Avraham Avinu rejects Nechut Vatsukhna, that it seems strange that afterwards Avraham Avinu says, Biladai Rakasharaku Hane'arim, after he rejects taking anything from Avraham, he says, no, I absolutely refuse. The only thing I accept is the things that were eaten by the people in the course of the war that I will give you back. It's already eaten. So Rav Abba points out that Kashe Gezel Hane'echal Shafilu Tzadikim Gmurim Enan Yecholim La'avziro. That which was stolen, but it was already consumed, so even Tzadikim Gmurim can't give it back. Now, obviously, the Nikud over here, it's not that you can't give back Gezel, but the point is that his rejection of taking anything from Melech Sodom is that he viewed Melech Sodom's property as Gezel. It wouldn't be Nene from something that belongs to somebody like you. Wouldn't want it said that you were part of my rechush. So what about this? It's obvious that there's no makom for him to pay back Melech Sodom. Because it's ridiculous. But the bottom line is that his Na'arim ended up being Nenah from it. There's no way to give it back. So even a Tzadik Gomer has no way, really, once it's Ne'echal, to take something which was Gazun and to restore it. You can't really restore such things. Om Rabbi Yochanan, Mishum Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon. You have an opportunity to hear Divrei Haggadah that were said by Rabbi Eliezer, but not Rabbi Yossi Haglili. Turn your ear into an Afar Chesed. Afar Chesed, we know that the Gemara refers to in places where the Shmua is very, very chashiv. So an Afar Chesed is like a grain hopper, in which it's like a large funnel, which all of the grain is put in and falls into the millstone, from which comes the modern Hebrew telephone receiver. Is a very nice remez to something where all the sound comes into. So the telephone, it's a nice marker for a word.
Yeah.
So he said like this. Lomi rukhem yichol ha'amim chashak Hashem b'chem. That's true. That it's not mirukhem, ki atem ha'ma'at. Obviously it's not mirukhem. Not to mention the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is chashak for the robe. That's the thing that he likes. So it's like this. Marlam HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yisrael, it's dafka because lo mirupchem, dafka because you never respond to gedula that I give you to make it rupchem, call yourselves kosher because of it. So that's the pshat. Hashak Hashem b'chem because lo mirupchem. Choshkani b'chem sha'afilu b'sha'ah sha'ani mashpia l'chem gedula atem ima'atim atzmechem l'chana. Even when I give you rav, you don't act in a way that's rav. So Natati Gdulala Abraham. What did Abraham say? Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. I give it to all of this is Miskaba back to the original Ofer Ve'efer Drosha over here when we're talking about the relationship of Ofer Ve'efer down to the difference between Hanas Mitzvah and Machshirim Mitzvah and Kisei Adam. So we're continuing now with that theme. So Abraham Avinu said Anochi Ofer Ve'efer to his Gedula. I gave Gedula to Meshav Aray. The response was V'nachnu Ma. We're nothing. I gave the gedula to David. He said, "Enough, you told la'at v'loish." Then the pasuk continues, "Lo mirupchem mikol ha'amim." So the mikol ha'amim now, we're also going to dash it. Not the way, in other words, that mikol ha'amim are, but rather the amim when I give them the gedula, so natati gedula l'nimrod, amar lefanai. So what does he say? Havanir alano yir. He wants to be loyfen neged the shamayim. I give gedula to Paro. He tells Moshe, "Mi Hashem." Give gedula to Sochera. He says, "Mi b'chol alohi haaretz otayev." I give gedula to Ruchanetzar. He says, "Aale avom teyav." I give gedula to Kiram Belach Tzur. And he talks about Moshav Elohim Yashavti Belev Yamim. He thinks that he's sitting there like a god on his island. Omar Rava, the Tamer of Yochanan, Gadol Shemar, the Moshe Yaharon. Yoter mi mashinemar bi Abraham. In terms of the godless of the Hashkalat Smit that was said by Moshe Aaron is greater than what we find by Abraham, because Abraham terms himself Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. Whereas Moshe Aaron referred to themselves as V'nachnu Ma. Ma leaves open a question of existence, Bichla. Whereas Abraham, if you know, asserts some level of individual separate existence, Ofer Ve'efer. The whole Kiyam Ha'elam is only for a human being that can discover the Ma in himself. Because it says, V'nachnu Ma, and it says, Tola Eretz al-Bali Ma. You see that when someone is lacking that Ma, you can say about Zabani, then that's the Ma, or Tola Eretz, the entire Eretz is totally on that. Omer Rabbi La. The same pasuk can be used to understand that a human being who knows how to shut up in the middle of an argument is also the mocker of the kiyum of the shenema tola eretz al belima. And belima means someone who keeps his mouth shut. Bolim et pif. So even when you're feeling really hot under the collar, you have a good answer to give back, and it's driving you crazy, and the other person is making unjustifiable remarks, but you don't say anything. And that puts a person in a darga in which what he really is becomes mikuyam, in which case he gives kiyam. Lokoloilom kulek. Rabbi Abu Omar, mi shemesim atzmo kemi she'eino. Because it continues on, somebody who sees himself as beneath everything. That's the Zerot Olam. We can read this ha'umnam in the sense of ha'omanut. So ma'omanotav shel adam ba'olam hazeh. What is the greatest craft that a person can develop in this world? Elam. Yisim atzimu ke'elam. Shut up. So you should think, okay, that's the case. Keep your mouth shut. Well, what do you have to babble for? Even a divrei Torah. Talmud Lomar, tzedek, daber. No. Tzedek, when it comes to the Maisa Hashem, tzedek, that you have to say. Yochu yagiz da'atoz, you might think if that's the case when it comes to dibur, b'tzedek already, so then there you have a right to have arrogance and speak with gas ha'das. Meisharim, Tishpetu Bnei Adam. Meisharim is the lesson of Mishar, like the open plains in which anybody can step on you. And then, that's where you judge Tishpetu Bnei Adam. where somebody says something, you disagree with him, you yell back and forth, but without any type of hagazadas. But in anything else, develop the craftsmanship of being quiet. Omer Rabbi Zeira Vitamer Rabba Bar Yirmiyah. Snapshot, but that's him. In other words, I think the point over here of calling it umunoto is the recognition that life itself is requires a certain level of craftsmanship. We view life b'chol is a creative activity. So it's, what is the craft that's involved in a successful life? And it's interesting that how much even on a simple experiential level this is true. That there's a tremendous craft to knowing when not to speak. And I think one of the first things that people judge other people by is by their talking. You know, so the umness of an individual, if he's taking his life, is something that requires a creative investment in. That umness, the most striking umness, is Ella. Omer Rabbi Zeira Vitamer Rabba Bar Yirmiyah, getting back now to the din of the offer, you should know that you should be, could use the offer of an Ira Nidachas. So if you shech something, it's okay to take. Now, the Gemara assumed that what it's referring to over here is the Afer of the Ira Nidachas. In other words, after making the fire and burning all of the thing inside the Ira Nidachas, so then you can use the Afer. Asks the Gemara of Amai, why would that be? Isn't it Isur Hana'ah? Because, I mean, after the Shreifa Seir, it says, Lo Yidbak Biyat Chamum Le Menacherim. So how can you take now that which is from Yir Nidachas to cover now that you're being Nenna from it? Omar Zeiri says, well, doesn't really mean the Afer. It means literally the Afer. The Afer of Ofran, which is the dirt on the ground. Because you shouldn't think that the dirt also that is loose requires burning and should be put in the middle of the city. So the pshat is mi she'eino mechusa elektvitsa v'sreifa. Again, we have the same type of drush that we had by v'shafach v'chitsa. Where the Torah puts two verbs, one after the other, it means nothing should be required to come between them. To talk about collecting the offer already, there I need to be tayushet. So yotzezeshem mechusar tlisha kvitza v'sreifa. So over here I would be missing tlisha. And mameila, I can't go and include the offer. And that's kuvah chiddush. The offer is no problem. There's no sriyama. Take the offer, the literal offer, and use it for kisui hadah. Whereas Rava, and here we come full circle backwards. The level of the construction of the Gemara sometimes is just so dramatic. We began this sugya over here, Zagarata. We began this sugya by asking, why don't we include in the schus of Anochi Ofra Ve'efer the mitzvah kisui adam? So we said, well, the mitzvah kisui adam is only actually a mitzvah, there's no hana'ah. So we end the sugya by considering whether you're going to be over on Isurei Hana'ah in using the offer for the mitzvah. But if the vice of the Zohar Hana'ah in the mitzvah, then there should be no problem with taking the offer, you see. And this is Rava's terence, Rava Amar, mitzvah, lav le'anot mitzvah. So even though we can talk about, so we have now three levels, but the mitzvah per se is certainly, there's no Hana'ah, even if it would have been one of those mitzvahs that you get the benefit of Ra'u Kol Amei Ha'aretz, et cetera, et cetera. That's not called Hana'ah. On the level of Isurei Hana'ah. Then there's a Bechlal, a level in which it's Bechlal, Makshir, and Mitzvah, and in general, the Mitzvah per se is, has nothing that you get out of it. But in terms of using Isurei Hana'ah, there's no problem, says Rav. Yosef Ravina Bechomel Alar Shvaitza. So Ravina was saying over Rav's brilliant parents. But what are you going to do with the halacha of Shefer Shalavodas Kirchavim Lo Yitkabo? You're not allowed to be taken care of the Shefer of Avodas Kirchavim. Alechera, that's because it's Yisra'anot. In which case, if you were over and you were taken care on Rosh Hashanah with that kind of shofar, so Alechera would be a mitzvah ba'aveira, because you're being nene from the shofar. My law, that in takalo yatsa, when it says you can't use it, I assume the mashmaut is that you wouldn't be yotzi if you used it. So apparently there is a hana on the mitzvah. La, im taka yatsa. That's not a din in the mitzvah of Baba Avera. It's because it's not nice. We're going to use a shofar of Avera Zorah on Rosh Hashanah. It's Mos. So how are you going to bring that to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu? But it's not because of the Yisrei Hana component. Oh yeah? So what about the din of Lulav Shal Averis Kechomer? It says Lulav Shal Averis Kechomer lo yitol. So Mar Lav im natal lo yatsa. The Chayra over there also means if you take the Lulav then you wouldn't be Yotzi because it's an Avera, you're being nana from it. Lo im natal yatsa. You would be Yotzi. Oh yeah? Bryce says the fair is not like that. Vatanya. Taka lo yatsa. Natal lo yatsa. First, you will not be yotze. So why are you not yotze? If mitzvahs lav lehenes nitu, what's the problem? It's no, there's no isra hana'a, and therefore it's no isra mitzvah bo ba'avera. What's the problem? Omer Rav Ashi, what kind of a person is this that Kisei Adam for heaven's sake? Okay, hashta, osam shiur avina. By the din of lulav, does a lulav have to be a certain height? Yeah, it has to be 4 tefachim. A shofar, does it have to have a certain size? Yes, it has to be larger than the hand. No. So if something is aimed to be burned, it doesn't have a shear, it's called ksusi michta shiure. The shear is muhtat, it's crushed. But by kisei adam, the more crushed it is, the better it is, it's better off. Crush it. So therefore, over there, shiure bin and vavar is kefavin, ktutat michta shiure. Mashenkin hofer koma the michtat. The more you crush it, the more roy it is, so to speak, for kisei mala the kisei. Had you not lost kisei adam, kid hanashem. Again, we have another one of these mishnayos that don't seem to make sense because they're built on a template. As I mentioned to you earlier, all of the mishnayos from the already 2 prokim ago are built on the same template. So we have also Vezbeno, we have Kisei Adam, we have Yidanosh, we have Beim HaMakasha, actually. Also, all of these questions are involved issues that don't seem to be nogei in many cases, such as whether it's Noyig and Chutzlaretz. Why wouldn't it be Noyig and Chutzlaretz? What does Yidanosh have to do with Chutzlaretz? Or whether something is Noyig in Bifnei Abayas or Shaloi Bifnei Abayas, when it's Negev Chaya or Negev Ema, many of the cases, all of this is redundant. In each Mishnah, we can identify at least one issue that is important. The Gemara, as I mentioned earlier, goes through at the end of the Masechta which thing was Negev, which Mishnah. The problem is, the Kiddush Moshe doesn't seem to have any. And this is why the Gemara is going to be very torud in discovering what, which one of these is important. So, Gid HaNosh is Noi Bar to the Chutzlaretz. That's rather obvious. Bifnei Abayit v'shalo Bifnei Abayit is rather obvious. B'chulon Abidlu G'dashim also seems rather obvious. I mean, why in the world would it go away? I mean, an animal begins with having a Gid HaNosh. How could you make Gid HaNosh go away by making it Kodosh? What's happening in the B'chulon? B'noi B'beima V'chaya also obvious. The Yerav Shal Yamin, or the Yerav Shal Small, of course, this is unique to this Mishnah. Since the Torah identifies a kaf, the Yerav, a kaf is a particular formation of a muscle which an oaf doesn't have. The polka, which is the Yerav of the oaf, is elongated. The muscle runs along the bone. There is nothing, we'll take a look when we get to the circuit, we'll take a look in the picture, there's nothing similar to the calf on the behemoth, and therefore there can't be a din of Gid HaNosh in an oath. V'noheg b'shvil, and there is a din of a Gid HaNosh on a fetus. Rabbi Yudomer, eino noheg b'shvil, we had this machlokas earlier. The chalbon mutar, and the chalev of a shvil found in its mother is also mutar. Of course, the Gemara is going to question. We had this earlier too. Chela doesn't mean the chela of the Gid HaNosh. It doesn't mean the chela of the shul. We came out earlier. It's the chela of the shul. Ve'in hatabachim ne'emanim al Gid HaNosh. You cannot trust a butcher On a given darshan, there has to be a mashgiach because a tremendous amount of tirchon to clear the given darshan with all of its little side fats, we'll see this, kedukdais and so on. It's very difficult to be mechateit acharav, and therefore that guy is not really trustworthy that he did it himself. They believe that the given darshan comes on chelat. The gemara is going to ask chelat, how did chelat get involved? We're only talking about the gemara. Ask the Gemara Mukdashim Shiva. Yeah, sure. Mukdashim Pshita. Now, does this point out? What do you mean Mukdashim Pshita? The whole darn mission is Pshita. But what's the Chayas? So Tosis explains that the Gemara understands that it's all Pshita. All of the Mishnayas on this template have elements that are Pshita. The problem is that the Gemara couldn't think of anything that would be even possible to find some need for. The only thing that is maybe possible is Mukdash. Because the others, I mean, are outrageous. What are you going to think that there's no dinner to get a Mukdash? It's crazy. So the only one that we could find was the Mukdash, and therefore we're trying to zero in over here. What fish is there in the Mukdash? I mean, what are you going to say? The Mishim Da'ak, the Sheikh, Barkala, you said, give me what? You take an animal that has a Gidan Nosha, and now you wave your hands over its head, I hereby dub the Oila, and all of a sudden Gidan Nosha disappears. I mean, why would there be no more Gidan Nosha? But he came, and maybe you'll say that the meaning of the Mishnah is actually in the other direction. That the Gidan Nosha's Noigbu Mukdashim comes to tell me that there is an Isser Mukdashim even on the Gidan Nosha. Not that the Gemara is that there's shayach to talk about mukdashim on a gid. Why not? Because we'll see later on, there's a major question as to whether the gid on darsha is considered really to be edible. Or is it just the Torah said, look, it's not food, you can't call it edible, but I'm answering it anyway. Gidden in general, yes, but I mean, it's not Nagayim, mostly. We'll see. I mean, that we talked about earlier a little bit, but in all of our writings, we'll talk about other Gidden. But here we're interested in, maybe that's the point. Maybe the point is like this. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is that, in fact, Gidden are viewed as having a tongue, so there's an Issur Mukdashim. Comes along the Mishnah, tell me you should know, that was a Gidden Nosha, there's also Chalais Issur Mukdashim on that same piece. Aye, what about Ein Isser Chalal Isser? In this case, Isser Chalal Isser, for whatever reason, maybe because it's Kailal other things along with it, the rest of the animal also becomes Isser. For whatever reason, we have over here Isser Chalal Isser too. Osi Isser Mukdashim, V'chayala Isser Gid, and that's good for the Chiddush of the Mishnah in the other direction. Problem is the language. So then it shouldn't have said Gidan Nosha is not a Mukdash. It should have said Mukdash was not a Gidan Nosha. I mean, so then how could you say I'm Mukdash and not a Gidan Nosha? The correct language would have been to say that the Isser Mukdash was Chala Magid. So that's not a reasonable explanation. Oh, so maybe just the opposite. So then maybe the point is to tell me that Gidan Nosha and only Gidan Nosha is not a Mukdash. And not the Isser Mukdash. Maybe that's the point. So that the Chiddush would be in the opposite direction. In other words, in which case there is no Isser Mukdashim, and even though you go now and you say this animal should be Kadesh, the Chiddush of the Mishnah is that you're left only with Gidan Nosha. So Gidan Nosha alone is not a Mukdashim, and Mukdashim Lecha, but there would be no Isser Mukdashim. In a Mukdashim. But then, is that true though? The Sava Tanit is done in the Gidim in some time. Is that really true though? Because Tosis points out that even though we obviously have another alternative, our other alternative is to say Yesh Gidim in some time, he doesn't hold a Visser Kailam, but he's a Chalal Isser. And the Morris, for some reason, seems to avoid that possibility. So Tosis says because the Gemara rejected that out of hand because it would have created a machlokas of two stam mishnayos. It's not reasonable because it increases. It's clear that we hold in the mission. It's chalal isser v'sakel. So we didn't want to raise that possibility. So the way to understand this one that there should not be an issur mitoshim isn't in terms of an issur halal issur, but rather it's because it's not edible. It's not edible that they never gave an issur mukdashim. It's like you eat the horn of an animal, you have to be over on an issur mukdashim. So you didn't get it. It's like eating the horn. The problem is, however, that our Tana does not seem to hold that, because later on in the parak it says, if you cook up the entire thigh without taking out the gid anasher, so then you have a problem of the tam of the gid, and it's defined by nois and tam. So in yesh ba nois and tam, or is asura? So shayt nois and tam, if ain't begidim nois and tam. If you tell me that by definition, it can't give a taste, so it's a check to ask for something else with its taste. It doesn't have a taste. The shishin is benayis and tam. They took out the chelav, whatever. The case over here is where we only have a problem of gid itself. Yeah, the truth is, your point is good, and Tosis actually raises the point, and he says we wouldn't have called it stam gid. Because when we find the Torah, the Gemara discussing Yisr Gid, it often avoids saying the problem of chelav, like we wouldn't have called it, we would have said the chelav. So therefore, it must be that there is a benayis and tam. So this opposite tense doesn't work either. So now we're stuck again. So what is the meaning of the chiddush of gina nashanayim v'mukdashim? Got it. Hacha bevlodes kachin astu. Question over here would be like this. Maybe we're not talking. Remember, what was our objection? You start with an animal that has a gida nashu. So how can you wave your hand over it and say, you're an ayla, and not a gida nashu goes away? The answer is the other way. We're not starting with an animal that actually has a gida nashu and doesn't have kedusha. We're starting with an animal that is a fetus growing in a kodesh mother. So now, there's a number of issues that we're going to have to discuss. One is, we're talking about a shlil that has a gid anash. Now that's in our focus. So obviously the artana has to hold no ibu shlil. But a gid anash is called a gid anash still in the fetus state. Okay, so that's A. Furthermore, there's a question as to whether a fetus growing in a kodesh animal has kedusha while it's growing or only when it's delivered. Does it have, is it called kodesh? The Tana also is what is structured by Me'imah in connection. So that the point over here is that the Isser of the Gid and the Isser of the Mekdashim happen simultaneously. So as the animal grows and this Gid grows, it is both a Gid HaNasha and a Kodesh, blood of Kodeshim. And therefore, we don't have the problem over here of the questions of that we raised earlier, because that's gufa, the finish over here. But if you have, let's say, a shlomi, and you might have thought if that's the case, the iser kachin comes first, and the gid anasha would not be chal, because the gid anasha is a lesser iser, so someone would think, because it's kailo much less, right? So the iser mukdashin would come first over here, then comes the iser gid. Therefore, he's coming to tell me, no, that actually the gid is like the shlil, and at the moment of birth, it's not then that the gid has to come to be chal on it, then we would say it is a chal on iser. But on the contrary, they're both chal at the same time, and therefore he's coming goofy to tell me that finish of the halachas of shlil and b'meinim. No, wait a second, that doesn't make sense. Because then you're saying that the... That would mean that the opening of the Mishnah is talking about a fetus. But then, Mimatz's book was called B'Shliel. But the next part of the Mishnah is where we raise the issue of Shliel. How many times say for Nag B'Shliel? I mean, so Mechlal the Reisha, apparently in the Reisha we weren't getting into the Machlokas of whether a Gid Anash is Nag B'Shliel. Now you're telling me the whole point of the Reisha that says that there's Gid Anash is Chal B'Mukdashim is the finish that it's Nag B'Shliel and B'Meim and Hekadesh. So then how do you raise all of a sudden the issue of Shlil three lines later? Mechla the Reisha La B'Shiraskina? No, what we can say is like this, that the second part of the Mishnah is coming as a hesber on the first part of the Mishnah to explain that, by the way, don't think that what we told you in the Reisha about that it implies that it's not Gashlil. Don't think that's true according to everybody. The truth is there's a machlokus about this issue. And it introduces the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that holds Einonoi Gashlil to clarify that the ratio wasn't the das of everyone. So if that's the case, it's just coming to clarify that. And now wait a second, but there's a physical problem here. The physical problem is that you are claiming that in terms of embryonic development, you would have a Yid Hanasha that would appear at a time that the Vlad is Notsar that would be Chal at the same point that Mukdashin is Chal. But the problem is that early on in embryonic formation, the Gid is not seen as a Gid. It's seen as undifferentiated stem cells, basically. At that point, it's already a fetus, and it's already Als Mukdashin. When those cells start differentiating, they're already Mukdashin that you want to now call a Gid Hanasha. So how did the Yitzer Gid suddenly come on something that was already Mukdashin? You're still going to have that problem. And I can prove that that's true without a microscope. How can I prove it? From a Mishnah. No, it's not me, but it's Amit Ravahadi Hadarikahatsu. Could you claim that actually Gid Hanasha and Mukdashin were Chal at the same time? But now there's a weird Mishnah in Nazir that says, these are the tumas that if a nazir is exposed to, he has to start over again, which requires a haircut and his carbonus and so on. And they are al hamet, among others, al hamet, v'akizayit min hamet. So we asked over there, what do you mean al hamet, v'akizayit min hamet? I mean, if you're going to tell me kizayit min hamet, why bother mentioning on the whole mate? I mean, obviously on the whole mate, right? So I'll make out the Zaidman on this. So if that's the case, how the Zaidman I made Megaleach, how Kula Lo Kochkin, obviously on the whole mate you'll be Megaleach. Where Rabbi Yochanan then answers, Lo Nitzrecha, El Lo Nefel, Shalom Nikshru Evarav Begidin. When you have a fetus, which is essentially not yet viewed as a mate because it doesn't have really Gidin yet, and over there, you don't, at that stage, it doesn't have a Kezias Basar. So I need to know that a mate, a complete mate, without a Kezias Basar, so let's say if he's exposed to a dead fetus, he'd have to be Megaleach. So that's a Kiddush. But you see that basically there is an early stage of development in which Lo Nishareh Harav B'Gidim. And even where you already have the formation of various organs, which is very early on, where you can see incipient organs, you don't see incipient gynons. And that's called a complete mate. So Alma is a Mukdashin Kodim. You see from there that the embryo is called already a mate in the sense that he therefore would have Mukdash, he's an animal. It would be already Mukdash. And there's no Ginanash yet. So how did the Isser Gid Hanasha come to be Chal on cells that were previously also from Mukdash? It's only got so nice. Answers the Gemara. We're going to have to invert our entire lima. The whole time we were assuming that the problem of Enis of Chal al Isser would only come into play if it were Gid Hanasha that came to be Chal on Mukdash, which of course we thought was impossible. The Mukdash of Chal on Gid Hanasha, then we have already Yisr Chal al Isser because of Yisr Kayo, which is where we got into this whole thing that became Bahadeh Hadadi. When we said became Bahadeh Hadadi, it's because we were assuming it has to be Bahadeh Hadadi, because if the Gid Hanasha would not be Noyed Vishmil, how could it be Chal later? That was a mistake. The truth is, Afagav Yisr Mukdashim Kodi, even though there is first an Yisr Mukdashim, the Isser Gid actually could be Chal on Isser Mukdash because it's more chomer. Because it's a strange thing in that its Isurel is Noeg v'Noach. The Isser of Gid Hanasha went into effect before Yisrael was Yisrael. It was still B'nai Noach.
It was only before Yisrael.
Huh? It was no Yisrael. The children of Yaakov were B'nai Noach. And there was still an Yisrael Gid. We'll see. I mean, that's what tomorrow's going to discuss, whether that's true tomorrow. But in any event, it's clearly a unique mitzvah that begins that early on. You haven't heard of such a thing. So Mamela, it will be Chalon. It is a Mugdashim, which is not Chalon. On a Benayim. And therefore, we have a new level of Yisrael Chalon. Yisrael, based on the concept of an Yisrael Chomur, it's Chumrabin, it's Kidum Mizma. All right?
Discussion of the Mugdashim.
As opposed to?
This whole history, why is it something that doesn't come as an outer requirement that one can judge? So it doesn't become like the Surah, where it's just about offering kabbalas. So the Kiddush is
eating Basar Hedges, isn't it?
Eating
Basar Hedges.
Right, but say to a Kohen, say where it's not an issue. It's brought properly, it's eaten by Kohen. Kiddush is still a sword in.
Why wouldn't it be? What's, I mean, for sure. The only Kiddush is where there would be some other issue involved.
Knock it off.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Obviously, what a Kohen's not going to be fired in a nush because the animal became Kodesh, it wouldn't have a Yin and Nush. That's crazy. Who would think such a thing? That can't be the Kiddush.
It's